Here's the title of this, what I'm going to minister in the next few moments. This is going to be pretty cool. It's called America and Jerusalem's Coming for Your Harbingers. I was awakened at 1:45 exactly, according to my phone, on February the 1st, 2026, and I heard an audible voice, and it said, 2028 to 2032. I heard it. I thought, what in the world is that about? And then the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, I'm going to show you prior to the destruction of Jerusalem for 4 years what happened, and I'm going to show you how it's going to be repeated in the United States right before America's final demise. And this is heavy, but I want you to stay with me as we begin to minister this. First of all, the destruction of Jerusalem was predicted by Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 and also Matthew 24. However, it was a process. It didn't happen immediately. It happened over a process of 4 years. From 66 AD, 66 AD is, of course, after Christ's resurrection, to the year 70 AD on the 9th of Av, when the Roman 10th legions came into Jerusalem, sacked the city, destroyed it, burnt the temple to the ground, and then took the temple treasures back to Rome. Jerusalem's events that occurred during those 4 years are going to repeat in patterns in the United States of America in a four-year period of time. You can go ahead and mark it down. I'm telling you, this is not some kind of weird prophecy I'm trying to give. Patterns repeat themselves. Is that right, Rick? That which has been is that which shall be, and that which has been done is that which shall be done, and there's nothing new under the sun. So we're going to look at 2028 to about 2032 based on that word that I audibly heard when I woke up. Now, Jerusalem, Israel, we know where it is. They've always said the Temple Mount is the center of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the center of Israel, and Israel is the center of the nations, and there is so much truth to that. The city of Jerusalem, though, its name is very interesting. It comes from two places in the Bible. It comes from Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. Abraham met Melchizedek, who was the king of, it'll say in English, Salem, but actually it's the king of Shalem, which is the king of peace. Then we find Genesis 22:14, when Abraham is on top of Mount Moriah offering Isaac as a sacrifice, he, Abraham, called the name of the place Yahweh Yireh. In English, we would say Jehovah Jireh, but there's no J in the Hebrew alphabet, so it's Yahweh Yireh. If you were to take Yireh, which means provider, and put it with Shalom or Shalom, you get the name Yerushalam, which is the Hebrew word for Jerusalem, which is used 667 times throughout the Old Testament, beginning in the time of Joshua. What has always fascinated me about the name Jerusalem is it's spelt in English, J-E-R, big letters now, U-S-A, L-E-M. You have the letters, United States of America, the first letters of that U-S-A, that is right dead center in the very name Jerusalem. I don't think that's coincidental myself, because the United States has been for quite some time, actually since 1948, the strongest supporter of the nation of Israel, which is considered a democracy, which is considered our closest ally, which is considered one of our closest friends. Now, when it comes to the city of Jerusalem, oh, we're about to go. If you've not seen this, this is going to be so cool. And my daughter says, Daddy, find another word. Cool is outdated. So I come up with the word. You want my word? Radish. She said, Dad, that's not even a cool word. I said, I'm going to start a trend. Man, that's radish, man. Hey, man, you look radish, okay? Everybody say radish. That's the new Perry Stone word for 2026 is radish, okay? And then if your wife says, don't call me a radish, you say, I got it wrong. Ravishing is what I was looking for. God in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 5, and also verse 11 and verse 21 makes a statement that says, I am going to put my name there. At the place you will sacrifice, at the place you will build me a house, I will put my name there. So what I did, I began to study this years ago, and I found five interesting things. First of all, I found out that on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem, when you lay it out on a map, that there is a letter that forms on the Temple Mount itself, which is the letter Yud, which is the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the first letter in God's name. Yud, He, Vav, He. So where the temple sat is in the shape of that little Hebrew letter Yud, 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Continues to get interesting, because if you look at the aerial view of the city of Jerusalem, where the mountains are, you have what appears to be the Tyrophian Valley, and the Tyrophian Valley is shaped, the valley of the Kidron Valley that comes all the way around to the other end, the Valley of Hinnom, and you have the Tyrophian Valley that runs right in the middle, forms the Hebrew letter Shin. Shin is the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is the name of God, Hashem, the name of God. Shin is the shape of that particular area. There's your map right there that demonstrates that firsthand. The sacred name of God, however, that's found almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament, is spelt with four Hebrew letters, Yud, He, Vav, He. The numerical value of those letters are significant. Yud is 10, He is 5, Vav is 6, and He is 5. Add it up and it totals 26. Why is that important? Because if you were to look at the Temple Mount from an aerial view, and I found this out when I was in Jerusalem, that if you go back to the earliest days of the mountain itself where Solomon's temple was built, it happened to be 26 acres equal to the total numerical value of God's name. And God said, I will put my name there. Now it doesn't end there. If we go to Mount Moriah, Mount Moriah is a section of the mountain in the city of Jerusalem. In the north, near the Garden Tomb in Israel, is where they traditionally believe that Jesus was crucified. And there is a topo. And you that have taken geology, you'll know that they lay these maps out, they layer them out, they have those guys out there shooting the height. And guess how high Mount Moriah is at its peak? 777 meters. Yep. Now look, see the word? Golgotha, 777. Why is that important? Because there's three sevens. Seven is the most mentioned number in the Bible. Seven is the number of completion. Seven is the number of perfection. So it's 777 meters high where Jesus was crucified. But Rick, you know Greek, and we double checked this because we knew Rick Renner was coming. I hope I'm right. If you take the name Jesus in English, and you translate it back to the Greek, there's every letter there. Some of those I know. Sigma, right? Omicron, right? I quit there. I'm not going to embarrass myself in front of the world's greatest Greek scholar. But if you take each of those letters, now, those are Greek letters at the bottom of the English name Jesus, the value is 10 plus 8 plus 200 plus 70 plus 400 plus 200, which is 888. And 888, 8 is the number of new beginnings. So he's crucified on 777 to get us 888. I wish you'd have drunk some coffee before you got here. You know what I'm saying? Did you hear what I just said? He's crucified on 777, which is completion. But at the resurrection at the Garden Tomb, he comes out 888, which are three eights, which is new beginning, eight souls in the ark. I could go into all that. Okay, give the Lord a praise for that. Now, there's this crazy link with America and the nation of Israel. It's been there from the very start of our history. We're now coming into, I think it's 250th anniversary, and these are some things that you need to be aware of. America was originally considered a republic. The republic is a name the Roman Empire used, the Roman Republic. The reason we were called a republic is people hold the power. People elect the officials. That's why we were called a republic. Now, our government is in the form of what is called a democracy, which was not with the Romans. It comes with the Greek culture. And the Greeks, why are we considered a democracy? Because in a democracy, the citizens vote the laws in. So the people hold the power to elect their official, but when you go to the ballot, you're the one that elects, do you believe in abortion or not? You're the one that elects gay marriage or not. I'm only giving that as an example to help you understand the difference between the two. Now, many years ago, I was studying this really amazing link between ancient Israel and the United States of America. So there's 11 points that I want to give you right here. I'm going to go through these very quickly. First of all, Israel crossed the sea to get to their promised land, and the pilgrims crossed the ocean, come on, to get to the to America to find the land that they found. Israel had to remove the tribes that were possessing the land in order for them to take the territory. And in the United States, when we were colonies, we removed people that were originally here and moved them to other locations so that we could take that particular territory. It's very parallel to what Israel did with the tribes that they were encountering in the Holy Land. Then this one is interesting. Israel actually has 13 tribes if you count Levi. Okay? And how many... How many colonies were there? 13. I wish I had a map of this. I didn't bring the map. I have a map. But if you'll take the nation of Israel as it looks today, the way it's shaped, and line it up with the 13 colonies in the United States, that map is almost similar. So in other words, our founders were very aware of the nation of Israel, the history of Israel, the biblical background of the nation of Israel, and they start patterning things very similar to this. The American seals. One of our early fathers in America said, I want the seal of the United States to be Israel crossing the Red Sea with Moses leading the way. But instead, Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey. When I grew up, if they called you turkey, it was an insult. You turkey, it was like a jab to you, right? So thank God somebody came along and said, no, let's be like Rome and have an eagle. Aren't you glad that we got the eagle instead of the turkey, somebody? I'm just being honest with you. We get the turkey at Thanksgiving. Sometimes you get the turkey as a leader. Oh, I didn't say that. Okay, let me go on to something else. Now, Ivy League schools, Yale University, one of the great schools of the East Coast, have on their seal Urim and Thummim, which are the two Hebrew words for the stones that were on the breastplate of the priest. The pilgrims, you may not know this, when they came here, they hated England so bad, they did not want to use the English language. And Bradford, one of the governors, said, let's make Hebrew the official language of the colonies. So we could all be speaking, Shalom, Erenu Shalom, Elechem. You know, we could be all doing that tonight. And so somebody decided just to keep the English language and keep it English. Now think about the names. Here's another parallel. Look at the names that are biblical names that are used in the United States. You have Bethlehem, you have Zion, you have Salem, you have Bethel, you have Goshen, you have Hebron, you have Canaan. My grandma and granddad lived in Davis, West Virginia, and there was Canaan Valley, named after Canaan, because it looks like Israel up there. And so you have the names. And now, among the Jews, you had one capital. The capital was Jerusalem. It was owned by no particular tribe, but it was enjoyed by all the people from the 12 tribes. You have in America, Washington, D.C., which is owned by no particular state, but all states consider that the capital of the nation in the same way that the Jews considered Jerusalem the capital of their land. Now, here's something interesting. Did you know that in the Old Testament, Israel was divided between the north and south? There was a division that came in the time of Solomon's son, Rehoboam. He split the kingdom. 10 tribes went one way to the north. Benjamin and Judah stayed in the south, and there was a division. Do you know that there was a division in America between the what? North and the South. That occurred during the Civil War. In the time of ancient Israel, there was a god they worshiped by the name of Moloch. And Moloch was a god that was a bull, and from the waist down, he was a bull, and from the waist up, it was a bull. From the waist down, he had legs like a human. Cut a hole in his belly, and they would burn the inside of the belly with different substances, and they would heat that idol up, and his hands were like this, and they would pass their babies through the fires of Moloch. Now, Moloch is very similar to abortion, to giving up your child to Moloch worship would be similar to what we call the act of abortion. There were also a group of men, this is in the Bible, by the way, who called themselves Sodomites, who were camping at certain times under certain kings. They were camping outside of the wall of Jerusalem, outside the Eastern Gate in the Kidron Valley, and they were at the entrance of the temple. In other words, you had to pass them in order to get into the temple. You had to go by them and maybe hear the conversation or hear what they're talking about in order to get to the house of God. Now they're inside the churches. It's awful quiet now. We're talking about parallels. We're talking about history repeating itself. And finally, idolatry. In ancient Israel, they were to worship only one God, Yahweh God. They were to serve Him and Him alone, but they became involved with bringing in strangers into the land. And when the strangers from other tribes came into the land, guess what they brought with them? They brought their gods with them. Next thing you know, Ashtaroth. The next thing you know, the Greek goddess Diana. And here's Baal, and here's this one. So suddenly they become entrenched with idol worshipers because they begin to commingle with people from nations who did not understand nor believe the same God that they believed. And that's when God sent the judgment by the Babylonians. It's also one of the reasons, shedding innocent blood, of course, Matthew 23, that He sent the destruction to the city of Jerusalem. Everybody still here? Still here? Say amen. Stay with me, because now we're going to get to six big points. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all of these, but I want to show you something. Well, the first things that happened, my daddy found out years ago, he was reading Josephus. He said, Perry, have you ever seen this, what Josephus said about the weird signs that happened right 4 years before the destruction of the temple by the Romans? I said, no, Dad, let me see it. So he opened up the book, and Josephus, who lived back then, who was an eyewitness to the destruction, who wrote about it in his book, Antiquities of the Jews, said that from 66 AD, that would be about the time frame, to 70 AD, everybody say 4 years. In that four-year time, here's what happened. First of all, he wrote, a comet was seen over the city of Jerusalem that lasted for 1 year. We now know from researchers at NASA what that comet was. Listen, it was Halley's Comet. They didn't call it Halley's because it was named after him many years later in the 16th, 17th century. The second thing that happened, Josephus says, he says there was a star shaped like a sword that hung over the city. They have researched this and backtracked it again through computer systems that we have today, and it was called a Leonid meteorite shower. And you can find that these happen every so many years. You can find one over Rome, Italy. Go to the internet and just look up that word, Leonid meteorite shower, and it actually is a shower of meteorites out of Leo the Lion, a constellation, and it is the weirdest thing. You know what it looks like? Tell me what it looks like. It looks like a sword. I showed you that picture. Look, in fact, there it is. And that's actually a picture on the left of one that was over Italy just a few years ago. So that's what they saw over the city, was the meteorite shower, but it had the appearance of a sword, and that has appeared several times in modern time. Then Josephus says, of all the things that seem strange, they looked up in the clouds and they could see armies and chariots in the clouds over the city of Jerusalem. He then says there was a light that shined at the temple at the ninth hour of the night. I'm talking complete darkness during the feast of Passover. And it was a strange sign that God was giving them. The gate of the inner court, which took 20 men to open and closed all by itself in the evening. And here's the part that gets freaky. They heard voices. The priest heard voices saying, let us depart from hence. And the priest got together and said, did you hear that? Did you hear that? He said, yes. What did you hear? I heard a voice saying, let us depart hence. When they got together, they had a difference of opinion, a split opinion. One group of the priests said, hey, that gate opened and closed by itself. That's the angels of God. The angels of God have shut the gate on the Romans. They're not going to be able to destroy the city. But the wise men came along and said, you're totally wrong. God just left this place. God opened the gate. God walked out. And the angels of God said, now you no longer have our protection over the city. So there were two groups that took place that particular night when that event happened. Now, look at the American parallels. Everybody say this with me. American harbingers. All I need is a black suit to sound like Jonathan Cahn tonight. You understand? Just give me a black suit. Give me one I can wear, would you please? Okay, or I'll lose weight. We'll do something. The American Harbingers. Now watch carefully, because this is where I think it's interesting. In the year 1998 was the Jewish year 5758 on the Jewish calendar. In 1998, there was a comet that was seen coming through our galaxy, which happened to be the same comet of 66 AD, Halley's Comet. It was all over the national news. But what's interesting is if you take the numerical value of the name Noah, it's not Noah, it's Noach, Noach. And the two main letters are Nun Chet. And if you take Nun Chet and you add the number value in the Hebrew alphabet of those two letters, it comes to 58, which is the last two letters of the Jewish year that that comet came through. And here's what's interesting. Wait a minute. In the Seder Olam Rabbah, which is a Jewish writing, it says that when Noah was building the ark, a comet came through. That would have been well over 4,200 years ago, and he saw a comet. Guess what comet he was looking at? Halley's Comet. The world's premier prophetic voices were all in one location for an end-time prophetic summit. The 2026 conference messages are now available, unedited, on DVDs, CDs, MP3 audio, and on digital download. 7 speakers, 14 messages in 3.5 days. Attendees called this a Bible school in a vinyl case. Here are the message titles. Jonathan Cahn preached on war harbingers in Persia and gave us an update on America's demonic battle. Rick Renner preached 3 messages, powerful Greek word studies concerning your personal spiritual warfare, breaking down the details of second coming signs, the rapture and the revealing of the restrainer. And then this great message called The Mystery of the Holy Spirit from the original Greek New Testament. Joseph Z, How to Keep Revelatory Movements Alive in the Earth and Mastering Your Prophetic Experiences. Bill did one of the greatest messages I ever heard. It's called The Mingling of the Iron and Clay Has Begun. Dr. Brian Cutshaw came in with the fire and anointing of God and preached today's battle for Holy Ground, the final Ishmael and Isaac clash. Jeremiah Johnson taught a word called the 5 Satanic Strategies Before You Birth a Breakthrough. My 5 messages were the Iranian Revolution and the aligning of the last coalitions. Then I preached when God sends a warning to you through your pets and animals. The 3rd message was called America and Jerusalem's Coming for Your Harbingers. The next message was how, when, and why the earth and heavens will melt with fire. And the final message I preached was Prince Spirits and Archangels, the battle for the fulfillment of the prophecies. The 14 audio CDs are $65 a set. The 14 DVDs are $95 a set. And you can also get the USB flash drive for $65, and you can look into getting digital downloads. There is an offer number for each one of these. It is important to get the right offer number when you're ordering, whether it be CD, DVD, or whatever the case may be. Now you can order online at perrystone.org, or you can call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD, or if you'd like to mail a check for the amount and also put what you're ordering with the offer number, you can go to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and remember, put the offer number in there as well. You need to get started in your personal study. This was the greatest prophetic summit or conference I've ever been in, and I want you to hear everything that was said. God bless you. Pay attention for just a moment, if you will, please, because I want to share something with you in about 1 minute. Now, some of you have been waiting for quite some time to get the 14 messages from the International Prophetic Summit that happened in the spring. We now have them available on DVD, on audio CD, and also on the MP3 audio. Now, this is very important. In my opinion, out of all the many years we have hosted this, this was the greatest insight, teaching, revelation, and information, content-wise, that I have ever been a part of. So do that now, perrystone.org, 1-888-21-BREAD, or contact us and write us and request what you want. Now give me your close attention for a moment. There will be a once-in-a-lifetime event taking place. It will only happen one time in my lifetime,
and your lifetime. And we're not talking here about the coming of the Lord. We're talking about the month of October, 6th to the 10th, the 50th anniversary of ministry camp meeting that we're going to be hosting here in Cleveland, Tennessee. Now, here's what I want to ask you. We have preached in many churches for the past 50 years. Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, North, South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia. And many times I hear people say, Perry, I would love to get to one of your big meetings. I would love to come to Cleveland. Can I tell you something? This is the time of all the times in 50 years of my preaching and in decades of having conferences. This is the one time I am imploring you and I'm asking you because I want you there for my friends. Some of you are my age, some of you are younger, some of you are a little older. But my friends who have always said, I want to come to that meeting one day. This is it, the 50th anniversary of the Voice of Evangelism Perry Stone Ministries being celebrated in Cleveland, Tennessee at the Omega Center International. Now, what's going to make this different is not just the praise and worship with Lyndall Cooley, not just the fact that you've got John Revere, Mario Murillo, Dr. Tim Hill, and of course, I'll be preaching, but we will have a powerful gospel group every single night. And then we have a partners meeting with just partners on Friday at 2:30. Then we have Pam's Fall Festival on Saturday afternoon at this main event. And I'll be signing books. And at the end of that day, that evening, we give away gifts worth thousands of dollars. And we call them door prizes. Everybody has a ticket and your ticket has to match the one that's drawn. Please don't miss this. I'm asking you, I've never begged you to come to a meeting before. I want you to celebrate with us. I want our friends that have been a part of our ministry to be there for this great celebration. The whole family's going to be there, and we're looking forward to seeing you. PerryStone.org is where you get the information and order the material today. Thank you for your time, and God bless you. I want you to join me and our entire family for a one-time historic event. On Tuesday night, October 6th through Saturday, October the 10th, Pam and I will host our 50th anniversary of ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee. This is our homecoming event. I have 5 new messages, including a major prophetic update. Special morning speakers are going to be John Brevere, Mario Morello, and Dr. Tim Hill. Lyndall Cooley will be leading us in worship. But listen to this. You're going to enjoy some of the best gospel music on the planet. Southbound is coming. Lee University Campus Choir, Old Tradition from Kentucky, Brian Free and Assurance, and many others. And don't forget Pam's Fall Festival on Saturday afternoon. It's fun. It's fellowship. It's food. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Now, the event is free to attend. However, you must register at perrystone.org. Do it today.